Oh, Mother, I'm sorry. I dropped the water. I just couldn't seem to hold the cup.
That's all right, son. Careful, don't fall out of bed. You're still very weak from the illness.
Still weak? Oh, it seems like I'm getting worse, not better. Am I getting better, Mother?
You've been through the worst part of it. I hope.
I hear the field workers coming back for the night.
Yes, son.
I should get up. Get out to our field. There's so much work. You can't do it all yourself.
Hush, my son. Rest. Soon, you'll be able to go to the fields again. Harvest that beautiful field of wheat you planted.
I must not die and leave you by yourself. Who will take care of you, Mother?
Why would God take you away from me, son? He has given you to me, has he not? You've been his comfort to me since your father died. Hush now, and try to drink this cup of water.
God will take care of you. Have they prayed for me at the synagogue?
Of course, every day. You will be all right. Nothing must happen.
Nothing. Oh, I feel so weak. Things are growing dark. Mother, I must not leave you by yourself.
My son, my son, I love you so much.
Hello, boys and girls, and all our other friends who are listening.
We are so glad you could join us for another exciting story about Jesus and the people he met.
Uncle Dan, it sounds like your story doesn't begin very happily.
Well, it does begin with sadness, Aunt Sue. Our story takes place in a little town in Galilee called Nain. It's during the time of Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, a time when many people died when they were young. The Bible doesn't give us the names of the mother and her son, so we'll call the mother Hannah and her son Micah.
And Micah became very ill?
Apparently that's what happened, Aunt Sue. His father had died some years earlier, so Micah had only his mother to take care of him. And he was very important to her, for Hannah had no other sons except Micah. He meant everything to her. He would carry on the family name. He would take care of her when she grew old.
It would be very sad if Micah died, wouldn't it? What's the title of your story, Uncle Dan?
I think I shall call it
The Greatest Miracle.
More than 20 miles from Capernaum, on a tableland overlooking a wide, beautiful plain, lay the village of Nain.
Hear that? I'm afraid that...
The horn, announcing a death in the village of Nain.
Once more, the angel of death has visited us.
Who has died?
I'm afraid it is Micah. Poor Micah, the only son of Hannah, the widow.
Oh, no.
God knows she's had enough sorrow already. Her only son and her husband dead. What'll she do?
It is hard to find any words of comfort to tell her. I know nothing would comfort me.
God knows all things. We must submit to him.
Let's go comfort her. Poor Hannah. Just sitting by Micah, not eating or drinking.
The Shekinah has truly departed from this house.
Here come the women to cut the lad's hair and nails, to wash the body, anoint it. What can we do to help?
I'm sure Hannah needs some linens to wrap the boy in. I have some I'll bring her.
She's a poor woman, but I know two flute players who will accompany the mourners.
Let's go then. The funeral can be no later than tomorrow evening.
The entire village took part in Hannah's sadness. Before the following evening, the body of Micah was laid on a litter called a bier. His closest friends picked up the handles of the bier and started carrying the body of their young friend out of the village gate and toward the cemetery.
Micah, son of Hannah, a loving son, a faithful Israelite, let us accompany our friend on his last journey. Weep with Hannah, our daughter.
Weep with Hannah, our daughter.
Weep with her, all you who are bitter and sad.
Weep with her, all you who are bitter and sad.
Alas, our Micah is dead.
Alas, our Micah is dead.
Poor woman. Now she's childless. Why is God punishing her this way?
Poor Micah. I'll miss him. He and I were close friends. We worked in the fields together. We sat in the synagogue side by side.
He was my friend, too. Please, it is my turn to help carry him.
Take off your shoes first. You know the custom.
Almost all of Nain has come along, like a field of mourners. All of us taking Micah to the house of eternity.
Alas, Micah is dead.
Alas, Micah is dead.
This is the way of the earth.
This is the way of the earth.
Dust to dust, ashes to ashes.
Dust to dust, ashes to ashes.
Following the healing of the Roman officer's servant, Jesus left Capernaum and, leading his disciples and the crowd who followed him, set out for the village of Nain.
That's Nain over there. Just a few more minutes.
We've walked 25 miles today, all uphill. I wonder why Jesus wanted to come to Nain.
I didn't mind the walk. It's been a glorious day. There's the Zebulon Heights and Mount Tabor. Wait, listen. Do you hear that?
Sounds like flutes. Mourners. Look, it's a funeral procession coming toward us. See it, James?
Yeah, a large one, too. Looks like all of Nain has turned out for it. Maybe someone important has died.
And we'll soon know. It's only a little way until our paths cross.
James, Peter, we better get out of the way, quick. We don't want to be defiled by the dead. What a day to come to Nain. I can't understand why the master chose this day.
It's a young man. That must be his mother. Poor woman.
Well, let's get out of the way quick. Look, Jesus doesn't seem to pay much attention to the laws. Doesn't he know contact with the dead will defile him? Defile him above everything else?
Judas, I think he's going right up to the bier.
Well, we better stop him.
Let's just watch and see what he does. Jesus knows what is best.
The law is plain. I'd stay as far away as possible.
Jesus approached the bier. He paused as he looked down on the form of the young man. And then he looked at Hannah, who was still weeping. She seemed blinded with tears. The scriptures tell us Jesus had compassion on her.
Weep with them, all you who are bitter of heart.
Weep with them, all you who are bitter of heart.
But Jesus said something much different.
Don't weep.
Then Jesus did something that horrified many of the people.
Look what he's doing. Touching the body. Who is he?
I think it's Jesus of Nazareth. I've seen him at Capernaum.
Doesn't he know the law? He has defiled himself. Don't touch him.
Stop the procession. Stop.
Young man, I say to you, get up.
Get up? Doesn't he know that Micah is dead?
What's happening?
Look, I can't believe my eyes.
Micah is sitting up.
But he was dead.
Where am I? Mother, why are all these people here?
Young man, here is your mother. Mother, here is your son.
My son. Micah, my son. You're alive. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
John, James, Peter, did you see that?
We've seen a mighty miracle, Judas. I know it's hard to believe, but there it is.
But we've seen it. Jesus can raise the dead. Oh, no Roman army can stop a man like that, huh? I think we have our deliverer. Why, with a little sensible direction, Jesus will be king of Israel.
Jesus had performed a mighty miracle in the village of Nain, bringing a dead boy back to life. But a short time later, he would perform another miracle, one that in many ways would be even greater than the one in Nain. It had to do with a Pharisee named Simon and the dinner he invited Jesus to.
I'll buy that basket of fish. 5 denarii?
7.
6. Not one more.
Well, it's yours, Simon. For another denarii, my young brother will salt them down. That's a very good price, and he does a good job.
Fine, fine. I'll be sending them to Jerusalem. Better price there, so salt them down well. Keep out a few. Not the best. And give them to my servant here.
How are these?
Fine, fine.
You must be having some guests, I take it.
I don't know what got into me, but I invited Jesus to dinner tonight. Oh, it's a lot of trouble. Oh, well, perhaps something good will come out of it.
Is there anything else, Master?
Yes. Get some fresh vegetables. Cucumbers should be in season, and not too expensive. And some fruit. Figs, dates, whatever they have. Not too expensive, but good enough.
Yes, Master. Anything else?
Lamb. No. That's fine. No lamb tonight. We can do without. Yes, that's all. Hurry along. Ah, Rabbi Obadiah, peace be unto you.
And to you, Simon. You seem out of sorts today.
I do. I mean, yes, I guess I am. Well, you see, well, perhaps you already know. I invited this Jesus of Nazareth to my place for dinner. Perhaps I shouldn't have.
Then why did you do it, Simon? You were aware that we leaders of Israel do not think highly of him.
Yes, I know. I thought perhaps I could learn something about him. Perhaps help him see that what he is teaching about the priests and rabbis is not just.
You are inviting trouble, Simon. Jesus has a clever way of twisting our words around.
Oh, come. I can handle him.
Time will tell.
Why don't you come too, Rabbi? I'd feel more comfortable with a learned teacher like you there.
All right. I'll be there. We must stick together, otherwise these uneducated rebels like this Jesus will lead the people astray.
Uneducated? I've heard him speak. He seems to be anything but uneducated. And there's something different about him, too.
Different, yes, but he has not been trained in the schools of the rabbis. Those who don't know the law are cursed.
But Jesus
Isn't
knows...
Isn't it true that he ate with tax collectors and sinners, people off a street?
Well, yes,
and does
I
he bother
I...
to teach his disciples to follow our honored rules and traditions?
Well, yes.
Not in the least. He's not a son of Israel. Not a true son.
Oh.
And he'll bring those unwashed fishermen and farmers with him tonight. His disciples. Bah! Have any of the honored Pharisees followed him?
No, I suppose
yes,
not.
Simon, I'll be there for your sake. But seat me far away from his disciples.
Yes, of course. Oh, I wish I hadn't invited him at all. Trouble, that's all it is, trouble.
Simon and his servants hurried about, preparing for dinner. Guests started dropping by early. Outside the dining room, uninvited people from the town started gathering, waiting, watching for Jesus to arrive.
Eliab, I know it is the custom to keep the gates open for something like this, but please, keep the rabble back so my guests have room to get through.
Yes, Master.
Oh, those sinners are a curse.
Master Rabbi Obadiah has arrived.
Well, see to it that his feet are washed. And don't forget the olive oil for his hair. See to it that all guests are welcomed. No one must say that Simon is not a good host.
Master, the disciples of Jesus are coming.
Well, see to it that they are directed to the basins to wash their hands and arms. If they know how. I won't have them defiling my dinner. Rabbi Obadiah, peace be unto you.
Peace to you and your house. You know, Simon, if opportunity comes up, I'd like to ask Jesus, who professes to be such a great teacher, a question that is stumping the best minds in Jerusalem.
What is that?
It is the question of a man with a wooden leg. Some of the rabbis feel that he should never walk on the Sabbath day, for he would be carrying a burden and thus breaking the law. Others feel that it would be all right for him to walk, that a wooden leg is not a burden.
And what is your opinion, Rabbi?
I believe that he would be carrying a burden and should not walk about on the Sabbath day on that leg.
But how would he then get to the synagogue with one leg?
That is not the question. The law is the question. It must be obeyed at all costs.
Well, it would be an interesting question to ask Jesus. Yes, it certainly would. One time I heard him say the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath.
He said that. He thinks that a man is more important than the law. Why, that shows...
No, excuse me, Rabbi. There's Jesus now at the door. I must greet him.
Greet him? Simon, it would not be good to pay him too much attention. There are many influential people at your house tonight.
Yes, of course, you're quite right. I'll just have the servant seat him at his place. Come, Rabbi, we can begin now. I have a special place for you, well away from those disciples. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting evening.
It'll be more interesting to hear what your fellow Pharisees say tomorrow, Simon.
Eat, friends. There's still plenty for all. Obadiah, more fish, bread, wine. How about you, Reuben? Josiah?
No, I'll burst with another bite, but thank you. You're most kind.
You jest, friend. Have some more for the sake of your father. Do not dishonor me and my food.
Well, all right. For the sake of my father and my brothers... But that's all. And more wine, please.
Yes, of course. And you, Josiah, you're nothing but skin and bones.
And fat.
Servants, more wine. And yes, who is that? That woman.
She's from the streets.
Not a very honorable woman.
Keep her away from me. What's she doing here?
Do you know her?
No. No. I've seen her around town. A sinner. A great sinner.
Filthy. Oh, my. Servants, take this woman away. Quickly.
Wait.
Oh, Master. You said today, come to me, all who are heavy of heart.
Oh. She is weeping, and her tears are falling on the Master's feet.
He is being defiled.
What does she have in her hands? An alabaster box.
Must be perfume in it. Look.
How shameful.
She's let down her hair to dry the feet of Jesus.
She's opened the box. The smell, it's perfume. Spikenard.
That's very expensive. But why?
When Simon saw what was happening, that Jesus would allow such a woman to even touch him, he said to himself,
"This proves that Jesus is no prophet. For if God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman this one is."
Jesus looked at Simon, reading his thoughts. Except for the sound of the woman's weeping, the room was silent.
Simon, I have something to say to you.
All right, teacher. Go ahead.
A man loaned money to two people, 500 to one and 50 to the other. But neither of them could pay back, so he kindly forgave them both, letting them keep the money. Which do you suppose loved him most after that?
Well, I suppose the one who owed him the most.
Correct, Simon. Now look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't bother to offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You refused me the customary kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again. You neglected the usual courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has covered my feet with rare perfume. Therefore, her sins, and yes, they are many, are forgiven, for she loved me much. But one who is forgiven little shows little love. Woman, your sins are forgiven.
What did he say? Did I hear right?
I'm afraid so.
He says her sins are forgiven. He forgave her sins.
How could he do that?
Who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins?
Woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Well, Simon, what do you think of this Jesus now? A blasphemer, hmm? Forgiving sins, like he was God himself.
But she goes away like a new person. A new person. I can't believe it. She has something I don't. Forgiveness? Yes. Forgiveness. Pardon me, Obadiah. What did you say?
Simon, are you also deceived? Jesus had given new life, new hope to the sinful woman. And that too is a great miracle, turning a sinful person around so he or she can become a follower of God's way. This was something that most of the religious leaders could not understand. They were looking for a Messiah who would deliver them from the power of Rome, not from the power of sin. In fact, many had deceived themselves into thinking they were righteous and didn't need forgiveness and the power to live a new life. These are the ones who tried to explain why Jesus had so much power. They said it came from Satan.
He is out of his mind. That's why he does these things. Look, here comes that demon-possessed man we saw earlier. He's blind and dumb, too. Now just watch this Jesus. You'll see what I mean.
Friend, you are whole. You can see and speak.
Praise God. I can see. I can speak. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Son of God.
Can it be that this Jesus is the Messiah?
Would the Messiah, when he comes, do more than this man?
But the Messiah is to deliver us from the Romans, isn't he?
This man delivers people from demons and sickness. Isn't that enough?
The trouble is that he's possessed by Satan, king of demons. That's why the demons obey him.
Oh, but how can that be? I don't understand.
But he does good.
Can Satan do good?
Come here, sirs. I want to ask you something. You say that Satan casts out demons through me. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided against itself will collapse, isn't that right?
Yes, yes, that's right.
A home filled with strife and derision destroys itself, isn't that right? Well, if Satan is fighting against himself, how can he accomplish anything? He would never survive.
Are you trying to tell us that God is casting out these demons through you?
If I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Satan must be bound before his demons are cast out, just as a strong man must be tied up before his house can be broken into and his property stolen. I tell you, every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven men, but whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Yes, God, who is my Father, is casting out these demons through me.
How can we know this? You speak for yourself. How can we judge?
We have been given the privilege of judging right and wrong, not you.
A tree is identified by its fruit. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's right.
So?
A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree, bad fruit.
So?
You brood of snakes.
Now, just a moment.
How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For a man's heart determines his speech. A good man's speech reveals the rich treasures within him. An evil-hearted man is filled with venom, and his speech reveals it.
You are saying our speech is evil?
I tell you this. That you must give account on Judgment Day for every word you speak. Your words reflect your hearts, and you will be judged by them.
Well, why don't you show us some miracle to prove that you really are the Messiah? Show us.
Only an evil, faithless nation would ask for further proof. But none will be given you, except that of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was in the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall I, the Son of Man, be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and nights.
What does he mean?
Oh, how should I know? Only demons understand him.
This evil nation is like a man possessed by a demon. For if the demon leaves, it goes into the desert for a while, seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the man I came from. So it returns and finds the man's heart clean but empty. Then the demon finds 7 other spirits, more evil than itself, and all enter the man and live in him. And so, that man's last state is far worse than his first.
Sad to say, most of the religious leaders would not believe Jesus. He had raised Micah, the son of Hannah, from death. He gave new hope and life to a down-and-out woman of the streets. He gave peace of mind and sight and speech to a demon-tormented man. Because of his great love for suffering people, Jesus had performed some of his greatest miracles. But he could not make the leaders believe he was sent from God. But Jesus continued teaching and healing and loving. And because he did, even today, the lives of millions continue to experience the miracle of new life and love in their hearts.